The following programming is sponsored by Doreen Taylor Music, LLC. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Peasley Media Group.
What's going on?
Hey, hey, America, what's going on? Welcome to The Scene with Doreen. I'm your host, Doreen Taylor, setting the scene every week to help you guys find out what's happening in music, TV, movies, sports, the arts, and everything in between. We're proud to be syndicated on stations coast to coast and originating right here in the city of brotherly love on Philadelphia's number one talk radio station, Talk 860 WWDB. Get insider access and go behind the scene on our show's official website, thescenewithdoreen.com, and watch us every single week on the nationally syndicated television show The Daily Flash, available in every major city in the U.S. of A. Well, it's a new week and temperatures are getting a little cooler. Things are getting a little, but we're heating up still, even though we're getting cooler. And I am here, speaking of heat, with my amazing producer, Matt Menark. Hi, Matt.
Hi, Doreen. Well, before we get started on anything, I just want to know, did you drive safely here?
Did I drive safely
here? Did you keep your eyes on the road and avoid animals?
Well, I'm here, so I would hope, unless there's some kind of some fur on my bumper that I don't know about, but I think so.
That's
why?
Good, because you're participating, not knowingly participating yet. Today, October 10th, is World Animal Road Accident Awareness Day. Did you know that?
First
today,
of all,
let me repeat that.
I was going to say, I'm lost. My brain just like zoned out on the third word.
World Animal Road Accident Awareness Day, October 10th. That's today, so we're supposed to, as opposed to any other day, make sure that we don't hit animals crossing the road.
So I guess only on October 10th I can be okay and avoid the kitty cats and the chipmunks and the squirrels, but every other day is okay?
Yeah, today it will be frowned upon. Other days, it's not an awareness day, so do what you want.
Do what you want. Okay, that leads me to a very interesting point, because I was thinking about this recently. What are with these days? I know we've talked about it in the past with the shows, but they're getting weirder and weirder. Like, that one is kind of weird. It really is. I mean, it's nice that we don't kill animals when we drive, of course, but you don't need to be reminded of that. I don't think there should be a reminder. And I mean, seriously, I was just researching. You see them all the time on social media. I think people are getting tired of them. But I think also it's National Hug a Kevin Day.
That is true.
Hug a Kevin, the name Kevin.
Yeah.
What the... Is there a National Hug a Doreen Day, a Hug a Matt Day? I mean, no. Is it just what the heck is Kevin?
The only one I saw, because when I saw that, I looked up other ones, and the only one with a specific name that I saw was Kevin.
What? That is so weird.
So congrats to all the Kevins out there.
I wish we had a Kevin on the show today. We should go around the building today and see if there's anyone else in another studio and just bring them in here.
We do. We have a Kevin Cooney next door that works at the Fanatics. So tomorrow or today, if he's in later on, I'm going to give him a big old hug. And he's not even going to know why.
And then he'll get, I'll never see you again. There'll be a sexual harassment lawsuit slapped on Matt Menark.
Well, I'll get consent. I'll ask.
Oh, that's true.
Can I hug you?
You must ask first, yes.
But Kevin, today is your day. Can I hug you? There you go.
So weird. And I mean, I kind of wanted to look it up, like the background, and I'm still a little confused, even based on the history of it. But apparently there was some obscure show for one season with a guy named Kevin something in it. And he went around, had the Guinness Book of World Records for hugging the most amount of people in a 24-hour period. And probably the most, you know, gut punches, too, in a 24-hour period. But I believe that's sort of the ABC, who was behind the show, used it as a publicity stunt.
Yeah, Kevin probably saves the world.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, the character's name was Kevin Finn, played by Jason Ritter, who I think that's one of John Ritter's sons.
I was gonna say
it?
Is that, I think that's a nepo baby, right?
Maybe
maybe not, sorry if you're not. But yeah, I think it was a publicity stunt by ABC to kind of promote that whole thing, and it took on a life of its own, and now it is a, I don't even know, is it a national or international day?
It's just as national.
It has not evolved to international. So if I go to France and hug a Kevin, I'm going to get slugged.
I mean, are there Kevins? Is Kevin a worldwide name?
I don't know.
If you go to like Indonesia and to be like, hey, you know Kevin?
Well, it would probably be like in some other kind of writing.
Does Kevin translate to other languages?
I guess I've probably heard of a French, like maybe there's got to be like a hockey player somewhere with Kevin or something in there. There's got to be like, you know, French Canadian or France, or I don't know any Russians named Kevin, but maybe there is. There could be a Kevin or Kevin or something. Maybe it's just that we're not, you know, I don't know. Writer, listeners, let us know. If you are, you know, from Bulgaria or something and your name is Kevin, let us know. You know, keep us updated with this and come over and get your hug from us. But it has to be today.
Well, according to names-hub.com, different pronunciations of Kevin, they're just spelled Kevin.
But you probably have to go and e at
some
the end
have
of
like
it.
Different.
Like an umlaut on the top, like Kevin
maybe.
Or something. Yeah, see, I'm just sounding fancy. It's like Target and Target. You know, I'm just making it fancy. But Kevin's out there, I want to say.
Ooh, Lithuania, Kevinus.
Kevinus.
Don't hug a Kevinus, please. I don't even know what that translates to, but please, I'm going to say that right now on the radio. Do not hug a Kevinus.
Latvian, Kevins. Just multiple Kevins. It's just Kevin with an S.
Kevin's.
That's it.
That's funny. And you know, I could also say, well, first of all, Kevin, congratulations to you. You got a day, and I'm proud of you. I want Doreen Day, but I think we're far off from Doreen Day. But, you know, but seriously, cannot my listeners hear that? We need a little WD-40 in the studio. My chair is squeaky.
This is a family show, Doreen.
Hey, we cover everything on the scene here.
Squeaky chairs. Yeah, we cover Kevin's dead animals. It's also like cake decorating. Hey, I can't talk. Cake decorating day.
Cake decorating day. I don't even know why. Cake eating day, maybe. But then there's a devil's food cake day on the same day. So I'm very confused. So you know,
angel food, not devil's food. Is it the same?
Oh, I don't know.
Is angel food cake and devil's food cake the same?
I don't know. That's interesting. Are they different?
I don't know.
One light, one dark, one kind of heavenly, one devilishly good. I mean, I don't know. I mean, that is a very interesting point too. You're making my mind.
I also want to give a shout out to all the people that work backstage at concerts and events. It's International Stage Management Day for all you out there.
I know a lot of those people. I worked with a lot in my past life as a musician. I got to tell you, secret to all the musicians out there, because I know I have a lot that listen because of our guests that come on. Always be nice to the lighting people, the sound people, and the costume people, because they can make you look bad, sound bad, and just be bad. I mean, you always want
to
kiss their butts because they have a lot of power.
Everybody.
True, but unfortunately, you got a lot of egos.
That's
out
true.
There on there, so
especially be nice to the animals on the road.
Be nice. You're obsessed with.
I just think it's funny.
And Kevin's, because it's Lithuania, one of them where they just pluralize.
Kevin's.
So Kevin's out there. Yes, it's your day. Animals, you get one more day to live. And everything else, bring me some WD-40 next time for the show so we're not going to hear this.
Definitely.
Got it? You got your list?
I got my list.
So, all right. I think we've bored the people enough here because we have an amazing guest and we got to get to it probably.
I think the people want more, but we can't give them more right now.
Well, keep tuning in every week. I think we're going to elaborate a little more on these things.
Yes.
We'll give the people
these are
what
hilarious.
They want. Give the people what they want. All right. Let's get to this.
All right. Let's go.
For those that have followed my career, you know that while I started out as an opera singer, I made my mark as a Billboard charting musician. I then crossed back over to musical theater, starring in two productions off-Broadway in 2017 and 2019. So I really love when I have the chance to sit down and chat with an artist who has expanded their musicality and talents to more than just one musical genre. That being said, my guest today on The Scene with Doreen is a very definition of that and more. Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Duncan Sheik shot out of the gate international stardom with his debut single Barely Breathing in 1996, and the rest is history. After a whopping 55 weeks on the Billboard charts, Duncan became a household name. Take a listen. Oh, yes, almost 30 years since the release of his debut self-titled album, Duncan Sheik has continually reimagined his career, releasing numerous studio albums, but more importantly, he turned the musical theater world on its head by creating the music for the huge Tony Award-winning hit musical Spring Awakening. A musical visionary with an artistic soul, it is an honor to have Grammy and Tony Award-winning singer-songwriter and composer Duncan Sheik on The Scene with Doreen today. Hi, Duncan. What's going on?
Hi, Doreen. Very nice to meet you.
Very nice to meet you, too. And I hope I didn't bore you to death in that beginning. Sometimes I always feel like people are going to fall asleep while I give this beautiful introduction.
No, it was a lovely introduction. You know, I have such conflicted feelings about those like first songs that I wrote, you know, because, when you write your first like pop songs, it's this, you know, there's this aspect of sort of like, dear diary, you know, like this girl doesn't like me anymore.
Well, the Taylor Swift syndrome, where everything
is. I'm just saying, like, and Taylor Swift has become a billionaire out of that.
I think everybody should have a little piece.
I should have milked it more, but you know, whatever.
Oh, well, you know, we all have our angst when we're younger, right? We all have that everything woe is me. And then we really realize what life is later and how everything was kind of much better back then. And angst wasn't even discovered yet when we were young.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the angst that I had when I was like 17, 18, 19, like I look back with like such like nostalgia, like, oh, so beautiful. Like
the good old days.
The beautiful sadness that I had wandering around the campus, you know, like, you know, in distress about like nothing at all. You know, it's like to me, like that's like the best kind of sadness.
I was worried about what I was going to have for dinner or, you know, if I counted my calories right that day. You know, that was about the biggest part of my day. And now I look back and, oh, how I long to go back to those days.
Yeah. I mean, I was a wrestler when I was in junior high school and in high school. So I had to do that thing where you were like cutting weight, you know, and it was crazy. I mean, it's just terrible for you, you know, but like, I was like, you know, I'd go for like 3 days without eating any food.
Oh, yes. All the real healthy listeners, do not do that, please. I do not endorse that. It'll cut weight real quickly. But it's not really the healthiest
really
way to
good.
Do it.
It's really not good for your metabolism.
No. But I do want to go back a little bit because I do like to always go back to finding your roots. And I don't want to spend too long there because we have so much to talk about. But I do want to say that music was always in your blood. And your grandmother was a Juilliard-trained pianist and she taught you the piano.
So kind of, sort of.
Okay.
So let me just for the record, you know, my grandmother was born in Rossi, Scotland, which is like an island on the west coast of Scotland. And her dad came to America, you know, with the family, and he was like a really good golf player. So he was like the head pro at the Rye Country Club in Rye, New York. Mm-hmm. This would have been like in the, I don't know, the 30s, probably 20s, 30s. But my grandmother was an amazing pianist, also an amazing golfer, amazing painter. She was sort of like a bohemian who got like trapped in suburban American society, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that maybe like, you know, when I came along, and honestly, my grandmother was 47 when I was born.
Wow. Think about that.
Like I have a 5.5-year-old. I was 49 when I had her.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, but my grandmother was like, you know, I think I was like her outlet, you know, like she was like, okay, like I can teach him how to play the piano. I can teach him how to play, you know, guitar. I can teach him how to paint. I can teach him how to play golf. I can teach him, you know, she was like, she was definitely, you know, sort of my North Star.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you made the leap to guitar. Why the change? Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, she introduced you to the piano.
No. I was a guitar player from the beginning. I mean, there's a sort of a funny story. In, I guess it would have been 1975.
Mm-hmm.
My grandparents had a condo in Hilton Head, South Carolina, and we would always have Christmas down there, right?
Right.
And you know, when you're 5 or 6, you know, like Christmas is like the most exciting thing in the universe, right? And so I remember like running downstairs, you know, way too early in the morning. It was like probably 4 in the morning. You know? And I found, you know, there was like a little kid drum set, mm-hmm. and there was like an acoustic guitar and, you know, couple other presents. And I just like started playing the drum set, you know, like as loud as I possibly could.
Of course. That's how you do the drums, of course. And when you're a kid.
Yeah. And somehow, miraculously, mysteriously, the drum set by 4 in the afternoon, that drum set had gone missing.
It was like the Bermuda Triangle. Where did it go, I wonder?
Where could it possibly have gone?
I'm surprised it took that long. I got to say, that was probably longer than my parents would have put up with it.
But anyway, but then, you know, but there was a guitar. There was a Yamaha FG75, you know, which is like pretty good sounding acoustic guitar. And then I just sort of hung out with that, you know, and I became a guitar player. I didn't really start playing keyboards until I was 12 or, you know. Oh. So I was playing guitar like from very early age.
Gotcha. Yeah. And then you went off. You're pursuing a major at Brown University, but not music. And most people would be fascinated because I didn't even know this was a thing. I'm going to be honest. Semiotics, which for people who have no idea, that's pretty much things about how life is defined by signs that we communicate meanings and feelings in a deeper way, something like that. But isn't that really what music is? I was thinking about it and I said, in a weird way, that's sort of what music is, right?
Yeah, it's very, so semiotics was a good sort of major for me because it allowed me to like take a lot of classes and a lot of different things. Like initially I was going to be actually a religious studies major.
Really?
I actually became Buddhist when I was 19.
Right.
So, but then I realized like, you know, why would I be a religious studies major? Like I'm not going to be like an academic, you know, like I wanted to make music. So semiotics was like a good way of like, you know, I could take a class in 60s Italian cinema and I can take a class in like, you know, Marxism and feminism and psychoanalysis. And
right.
I could take a class in, you know, Fisher Price, you know, video cameras.
I love that. Fisher Price, my very first little camera was a little Fisher Price camera. I loved that thing. So I understand.
Yeah. So it was just a way for, and honestly, I took a class that was just called electronic music. Oh. And I took it for 7 of the 8 semesters that I was at Brown with a gentleman named Shep Shapiro, who was a brilliant composer in his own right. And he introduced me to like Steve Reich and, you know, Philip Glass and John Adams and Arvo Pärt. And, you know, that was very formative for me.
Yes. And then you didn't really stray too far from the mainstream kind of music, though, because while in college, you worked with one of my previous guests on the show, Lisa Loeb.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And Lisa and I, you know, it was funny. Like, we see each other like once every 10 years. Mm-hmm. But recently, she called me, you know, this was like a few months ago. And she's like, oh, I'm supposed to do this show at City Winery. You know, I'm just play a couple songs, but I can't get there. Blah, blah, blah. Flight. I don't know. So, you know. So I'm the pinch hitter for Lisa Loeb right now.
Like that. I think that should be a new business card for you. I think that, you know, you have your business card and then on the bottom, your little tagline should be,
pinch hitter.
For Lisa Loeb. I like that. You know, I wanted to ask before we move on, because I want to talk about your musical career, your musical theater career. But, you know, I know that it's hard to talk about that first one, Barely Breathing, because it's like you become defined by a song that was how many years ago, you know, like 30 plus years ago. It was 27, 27 years. Yeah. 27. I don't want to date you too much.
Don't overdo it here.
No, we won't add on any years, I promise. No, I don't do math as quick in my head as most people. But yeah, I was like, no, that's not right. It's about 27. But you know, that tune set the bar so high right out of the gate for you. You were, you know, coming right out. And do you feel achieving such a big hit right away worked against you as an artist going forward?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a double-edged sword in a lot of ways. You know, I think, you know, the problem with having a pop song on the radio in the 90s was that it was very sort of sticky is the word I would use.
Good adjective.
And so it just like lived there for like 54, 55 weeks, whatever the hell it was.
55 consecutive weeks.
I was like literally saying to them, please get this song off the radio. Please get it off the radio.
You're the first person probably ever to say that. Please take my song away. But I understand what you're saying. It's a double-edged sword. It is.
Because like I was like, I have other music that's on this record that's like probably better, you know, probably more interesting. But, you know, radio stations will be radio stations and they're very, you know, sort of corporatization of it. You know, it's like if a song is working, they'll just play it until it's not working, you know? And that to me was sort of frustrating. And again, like I've made peace with that song.
Mm-hmm.
Let me put it. But but like literally it's a song I wrote like in 20 minutes, you know, like in the driveway of my mom's house in Hilton Head, South Carolina.
It was a very profitable 20 minutes though. I got to say for people for 20 minutes, that's quite a productive 20 minutes for someone.
I mean, look, listen, even John Lennon and Paul McCartney will tell you all the time about how they, you know, some of their best music they wrote on a matchbook cover in 5 minutes.
I sometimes want to call BS on some of those people. I'm like, you know, that's not true. Come on. You know that it took you like you're, you know, toiling over and slaving over a piano.
I will say this. I wrote the song, but it needed a bridge. And Rupert Hine, who was my producer at the time, he was like, you need to write a bridge. So when I was at Metropolis, actually mixing the record, it was like, okay, we need to like put a bridge in this song. And so, yes, I guess you're right. In fact, it was probably like a year of gestation, given the fact that like I wrote the bridge like while I was mixing the record. But, you know,
that's interesting. That I don't hear that very often. Usually people come in and that's done. That's a very interesting story because a lot of people don't like put a big part because the bridge is, you know, pivotal in a pop song. And
well, yeah. And also it's a weird bridge because it's like it's very non-diatonic. Like if you look at that chord, I don't even know. I mean, I didn't even know what I was doing really, but it's just, it's a very weird chord structure. And there's like this sort of G, there's a very bizarre G chord that's sort of at the end of the bridge that brings you back into the chorus. And, you know, somehow it worked, you know, I guess, you know, people didn't mind it too much, but it's like, you know, it's very, it's pretty out there if you listen from a harmonic standpoint.
I love that about you. And I'm going to do like dive as we go because I'm going to take a little bit of a break. But you are someone that has experimented, and you even experimented so much that you threw your hat into an entirely different genre. I'm chatting here with singer-songwriter Duncan Sheik. When we return, we're going to talk all about his bold leap into the world of musical theater and Broadway. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
Choosing the right insurance company can be complex and confusing. At Leonard O'Neill Insurance Group, we don't just sell you an insurance policy. We sell you a lifetime of peace of mind, service, and satisfaction. A second-generation, family-owned and operated business in South Jersey, we're committed to protecting you and your family. With over 2,000 clients in the tri-state area, we are your local, trusted insurance experts specializing in business, life and health, and personal insurance. Contact Leonard O'Neill Insurance Group today to learn how we can get started on your insurance journey together. Visit www.log-insurance.com or call 856-627-2600.
Hey guys, are you loving the show? Do you want to see more of The Scene? Well, guess what? You can, because The Scene with Doreen is now a weekly segment on the nationally syndicated television show, The Daily Flash. The Daily Flash is your daily destination for trending stories, celebrity updates, and industry highlights. And it's now your home to watch The Scene with Doreen. You can turn us on and watch every Wednesday across the country. Check your local times and listings at thescenewithdoreen.com.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and do not have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-320-9428. 800-320-9428.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you do not pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call. If you've been injured in an auto accident, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-320-9428. 800-320-9428. 800-320-9428.
No more mold, no more damage, no more outdated old bathroom, no more slipping and hurting, no more stress. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. Be stress-free. Call 800-827-4067. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. Ask about our military and senior discounts. Your dream bathroom in as little as one day. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a Neverclear glass treated door. Call now for free premium color upgrades. 800-827-4067. Call BCI Bath and Shower, the leader in bathroom remodeling. Be smart, safe, and stay a step ahead of inflation with our interest-free financing options. Call 800-827-4067. Love your bathroom with free upgrades. Call 800-827-4067. 800-827-4067.
Well, it isn't a bitch. Chatting with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter and Tony Award-winning musical theater composer Duncan Cheek, who is my guest today. He's known for creating shows like Alice by Heart, American Psycho, and the winner of 8 Tony Awards, including Best New Musical, Spring Awakening, which you just heard a little piece of. You know, Duncan, it took a huge leap of faith to throw your hat into the musical theater world. What propelled you to want to compose music for the stage after a very successful mainstream career?
Yeah, so I don't know how much you want to get into this, but I, you know, my first record did pretty well. My second record did less well. And my third record, actually, I put out a Nonesuch. It was called Phantom Moon. And it was written with Steven Sater, who is a friend of mine who is, I know him because we're both Buddhists. Mm-hmm. And he's like a, you know, like a poet and writer and a playwright. And he started sending me these songs. And then that became my third record, Phantom Moon, which came out on Nonesuch. And, you know, I'm very, very proud of that record. But it's like the most non-commercial record possible. You know, it's just, it's like all like woodwind string arrangements. There's nothing electric or electronic on it whatsoever.
No, that's very cool, actually.
Yeah. So, but I mean, at the time, you know, we were living in the era of, you know, Backstreet Boys and NSYNC.
Right. Bubblegum Pop. Yes.
Years. Again, no offense to any of those folks at all, but like, it just wasn't, I didn't feel a lot of kinship with that. Right. So I was just, I went completely the other direction. And then, you know, Stephen was like, why don't you read this play and maybe we can make a musical. And, you know, I've said this story too many times.
That's the punishment of having to do interviews. You got to keep repeating it, right?
But I apologize if you've heard this before, but I was like, Stephen, I was like, Stephen, I'm like, no offense, mate, but I hate musicals.
Really? Oh, wow. Well, welcome to the musical theater world.
Well, you have to understand, like, I mean, it was more coming from a place of like, you know, what year was it? It was like 1999.
You know? Right.
So, you know, what was on stage at that point? Like, let's look at it. It wasn't the coolest set of stuff.
No, it was a transitional period and I'm not sure exactly what was going on. Yeah. No, shade on any of the shows that were there. But yeah, it was a throwaway era. Pretty much back then.
Yeah, I was just sort of like, it was like, you know, like Broadway, you know, like,
kick lines.
Yeah.
A lot of jazz hands.
It's just like, you know, oh, like, you know, again, I love people from Iowa, but it's like the buses would come in from Iowa, you know, and then they would watch a show, a Broadway show, you know.
It's what you do.
So to me, that was just like anathema, right?
Right.
So anyway, so he gives me this play, Spring Awakening. I had no idea what it was, but it's like one of the most, I guess it's sort of considered the first German expressionist play. Mm-hmm, And in, you know, like in theater circles, like people who know about this stuff, you know, it's very revered, right?
Right.
And so I read the play and I was like, oh yeah, this play is amazing, you know? And then we had a couple conversations about how, what we would do with it musically. And I just said, you know what? Like, I'm not Stephen, I'll do this, but like, I am not going to write like typical musical theater music.
Right.
I'm not going to write in the style of blah, blah, blah. It's just not remotely interesting to me. So if you're okay with me just like writing a bunch of weird, like electronic 20th century classical music, folk music, you know, alternative rock music, Radiohead-ish things, mm-hmm. then let's do it.
Yeah.
And he was fine with it.
Apparently, and rightly so, because, you know, you say that, but what was it like then to win the Grammy Award for it, but not for your huge hit that you were nominated in 97 for? It's a little interesting how that won, and I bet you liked musical theater a little more then.
Do you want to hear a funny story?
Yes,
about
please.
The Grammys?
Yes.
Okay, so I was in a category with, it was myself and Seal and Maxwell and Elton John.
Oh my.
And for best, you know, pop male vocal. Right.
Right.
And I had a person who I thought was a friend of mine, who I was at Sundance. I was like at the film festival. I was just like snowboarding. I was not there for any reason. I was just like, oh, I'm gonna go snowboarding. And this guy comes up to me. He's like, well, what do you think about the other people in your category? And I said, well, like, I love Seal. Like his first two records are like really important to me and like incredible records. Like,
yeah.
Maxwell, I think, is an incredible singer, lovely guy, you know, I know a little bit. And then I said, you know, Elton John hasn't written a good song since 1974. And including that Candle in the Wind nonsense.
And tell me how you really feel. Keep going.
No, and then they printed it in People magazine.
Oh, of course they did. It wasn't like some little Tribune out in the middle of nowhere. Of course it got picked up by People magazine.
No, and I got a call from, you know, from Ron Shapiro, from my sort of my major domo at Atlantic, and he's just like, "Who the f- do you think you are?" Yeah, and to this day, you know, weirdly, I've never met Elton John. I mean, we work in the same business, but I've never met him. But I guess when I do see him, I will make my apologies.
All right. Well, but someday I want that to happen, and I want to be the one covering that. I want to be there with the camera because I would love to see what happens. But I want to take a break because I do want to talk about another musical that you've done and some of your other works, because you are so eclectic and you have so much going on. But I'm here chatting with the incredible singer songwriter Duncan Sheik. Stick around, we have a lot more to talk about. Be right back. Hey guys, are you loving the show? Do you want to see more of The Scene? Well, guess what? You can, because The Scene with Doreen is now a weekly segment on the nationally syndicated television show, The Daily Flash. The Daily Flash is your daily destination for trending stories, celebrity updates, and industry highlights. And it's now your home to watch The Scene with Doreen. You can turn us on and watch every Wednesday across the country. Check your local times and listings at thescenewithdoreen.com.
No more mold. No more damage. No more outdated old bathroom. No more slipping and hurting. No more stress. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. Be stress-free. Call 800-827-4067. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. Ask about our military and senior discounts. Your dream bathroom in as little as one day. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a Neverclear glass treated door. Call now for free premium color upgrades. 800-827-4067. Call BCI Bath and Shower, the leader in bathroom remodeling. Be smart, safe, and stay a step ahead of inflation with our interest-free financing options. Call 800-827-4067. Love your bathroom with free upgrades. Call 800-827-4067. 800-827-4067.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and do not have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney. Call 800-320-9428. 800-320-9428. Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you do not pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call. If you've been injured in an auto accident, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-320-9428. 800-320-9428. 800-320-9428. She wants it all.
Yes, welcome back to The Scene with Doreen. I am your host, Doreen Taylor, and I am having the pleasure to speak with Tony Award-winning Broadway composer and singer-songwriter, the incredible Duncan Sheik. And that was a small excerpt of his incredible musical, American Psycho. Welcome back, Duncan. I wanted to say, I always thought that musical got a bum's deal. I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was well beyond probably... was a little too cerebral for maybe the audience. And I think it deserved longer legs on Broadway. Do you have any plans on reviving that? Because I think it's brilliant. I saw it on Stephen Colbert. I know you guys performed it. I mean, it's brilliant.
So, yeah. I mean, here's the good news. It was picked up. It was licensed by, at the time, it was Samuel French. And then there's another company that's now licensing it. But anyway, it's, it's just a weird show that obviously it closed in 9 weeks on Broadway, right? And lost $9 million. But it has a long tail now. So it's like now, like it has, it's sort of this weird, like cultish niche. It's the same way the movie and the same way the book, right? You know, like they were all very controversial, you know, and they weren't like commercially successful out of the box, but they're considered, you know, like really important pieces of the culture, you know. And I mean, it remains to be seen if American Psycho the musical does that. But it's like I went to go see it in DC, a few weeks ago, and it was amazing. Like, it's so cool what people are doing with the show right now. Mm-hmm. And it's really like a show that's built to be, you know, obviously you'd have a full cast, but you know, you could just do it like with a DJ, you know.
And so
there's a, you know, it's sort of made to be very sort of like, you know, it can move around easy. It's light on its feet.
Yes. People don't realize what it takes to move around a real big production and how much that costs. And
right. I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, my concept at the time was like, you know, I was sort of getting into Ableton, which is this sort of, you know, the software, music software that, you know, people make electronic music with it. And I was like, oh yeah, you know, you could just do a whole show with Ableton and you wouldn't necessarily need a band. Now, before I get in trouble here.
The union. I know the union.
I love having a big band, and yes. I always fight for as many musicians as I can, especially if it's orchestral,
yes.
If it's horns or, you know,
string,
you know,
sections, yes, big or, orchestral,
you know,
works,
winds,
yes,
or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm always in full support of that. But American Psycho is a different animal.
It is.
You know, it's sort of, you know, the show, the iteration that I saw in DC a few weeks ago was like a girl with like funny glasses, and she had a keyboard and she had the Ableton files, mm-hmm, and she was triggering like a DJ in a DJ booth, right?
Oh, so
and
triggering the tracks, like she was cueing the tracks.
And then,
gotcha.
And then they did the whole show, and, you know, in front of the audience, mm-hmm, and it was like, yes, this is the idea.
It's cool. It's innovative. It really, like I said, I think it was beyond, it was a before its time. And I think it'll evolve into where it needs to be because it's sexy too. It really is. There's something about that murder and that, you know, the whole psycho kind of thing where it lends itself to a sexiness. And I think Vegas should embrace this.
Going mass confession. Do you find murder sexy?
You know what? I think, wasn't there, I don't know if you're a South Park fan, but wasn't there that whole episode about murder porn and all the parents, they were getting off on the murder porn. I'm not so sure I go that far, but there is a sexiness about the bad boy, the whole that, you know, journeying into a world where, you know, it isn't quite normal or traditional.
Fair enough. Listen,
it isn't King and I, let's put it that way.
No, but Christian Bale is Christian Bale, right? I mean, he's like, you know, an incredibly handsome man. And, you know, it was like his breakout role as an adult.
Uh-huh.
And it's very iconic, you know. And I sort of get that aspect of it. But, you know, it's funny when you really do a deep dive into the book and the movie and the musical, you realize just like how like weird and insecure and
right,
Patrick's, you know, he's sort of like the precursor of the incel.
Oh,
you know? I mean, he's just sort of like, you know, he's so like worried about his status.
Oh, yes.
You know, the other guys, you know, and he's like hiring women as opposed to picking up women. And he's kind of in love with his secretary, but like, and she unfortunately, you know, sort of, you know, whatever. The book is way more layered than I think people understand it to be. And that's why I found it like, that's why I wanted to turn it into a musical because, you know, you could sort of like explore some of this stuff. And really, honestly, less than being about Patrick Bateman, it's a show about late capitalism and how that sort of, it sort of messed with some people's brains, I think. Let's just put it that way.
I totally agree with you. And I do believe it has longer legs and it's going to go. And, you know, I got to say, though, in the Stephen Colbert about the sexiness, he was dancing without his shirt. So there was a little bit of the sexiness there.
Yeah.
So, you know what? So there was that little element there. So however insecure he was, he looked pretty fine on stage. Just got to say, put my own endorsement in there.
No, he's a very fit gentleman.
Yes. For people, go watch it on YouTube. Yes.
Actually, you know, who played it in London was Matt Smith, who was, was like Doctor Who. He's like a big star in England. And Matt was also like really great, very different, you know, sort of very different versions of that character. But weirdly, like the show played better in London than it played in America, because I don't think Americans like to be criticized. You know, it's like, you know, a lot of people that go to Broadway shows are like finance guys. You know, their wife buys a ticket. They're like, you know, and they don't want to be, you know, made fun of.
It's true. You know, so. It's true. I don't think many people. Yeah, you're right. Maybe people in general, but especially American people. We have a certain air about us and we don't like to be questioned or criticized. So I promise I won't do that. Even though I'm giving you questions today, I will not criticize you. I'll just question you.
I've got incredibly thick skin and I'm.
You have to be if you're in the Broadway and the music industry. You have to have thick skin. I mean, I think we're all calloused. We're just one big calloused.
I'm Scottish and I'm Irish and I'm very self-deprecating. So
there you go. I am too. My producer, Matt, always tells me I am totally self-deprecating. But I do want to take one more little break. I want to come back and I want to talk about your latest album. And I want to just wrap it all up. So I am chatting with the incredible Grammy-winning, Grammy Award-winning, Tony Award-winning Duncan Sheik. We will be right back.
No more mold. No more damage. No more outdated old bathroom. No more slipping and hurting. No more stress. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. Be stress-free. Call 800-827-4067. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. Ask about our military and senior discounts. Your dream bathroom in as little as one day. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass-treated door. Call now for free premium color upgrades. 800-827-4067. Call BCI Bath and Shower, the leader in bathroom remodeling. Be smart, safe, and stay a step ahead of inflation with our interest-free financing options. Call 800-827-4067. Love your bathroom with free upgrades. Call 800-827-4067. 800-827-4067.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and do not have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-320-9428. 800-320-9428.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you do not pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call. If you've been injured in an auto accident, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-320-9428. 800-320-9428. 800-320-9428.
Hey guys, are you loving the show? Do you want to see more of The Scene? Well, guess what? You can, because The Scene with Doreen is now a weekly segment on the nationally syndicated television show, The Daily Flash. The Daily Flash is your daily destination for trending stories, celebrity updates, and industry highlights. And it's now your home to watch The Scene with Doreen. You can turn us on and watch every Wednesday across the country. Check your local times and listings at thescenewithdoreen.com. Welcome back to The Scene with Doreen. I'm your host, Doreen Taylor, and I've had the honor of speaking all hour with Grammy award-winning and Tony award-winning singer-songwriter and musical theater composer, the fabulous Duncan Sheik. Coming out of break, that was a small snippet of Duncan's song, There's No Telling, off his newest album, Claptrap. And Duncan, I gotta say, out of all my guests that have been on the show, you are by far one of the most experimental musicians I have ever had the chance to chat with. You've really pushed the boundaries of what mainstream music can sound like, and you've embraced non-traditional ideas and sounds. And you have even said that Claptrap was quite literally therapy or salvation for you. Why was creating this album so important for you?
Well, you know, it was COVID, right? Mm-hmm. And I had you know, my daughter was born in December 11, 2018. And like, you know, we were heading into like COVID times, and it was a very emotionally tough time for me for a variety of reasons. And you know, I had like sort of two off-Broadway shows that I was like getting set up for, and I had another show up in Connecticut, and I was just like, you know, I was sort of like losing my mind. You know, when you have a kid, like, you know, I think both parents, you know, there needs to be a therapist there when you have a child that says like, both of you are going to lose your minds.
It's true. They don't give you that kind of manual. You know, that's what they should be training you.
They don't tell you.
No, they don't.
Which is like, you know, it's really a problem.
They teach you all the other things, like, you know, a woman how to breastfeed and do all these other things, but they don't really they say, here you go, after you have the baby, and you're like, good luck.
No, they don't teach you anything about the fact that, like, you know, you may come home from a show at 8 o'clock at night and your wife is going to, you know, look at you like you're a stranger.
The musician's life sort of happens, though, being on the road. And I hear that a lot from a lot of my guests, that it becomes like that. And it's hard. It's a hard, hard life. People who do not do it do not understand how difficult that can be. And
Nora is an amazing mother to my child, so I don't mean to make any it's no disrespect to her.
Oh no, of course. Yeah,
it's just like the relationship changes so dramatically, and nobody tells you, you know.
It does. You're getting the PSA out there right now for everyone to hear right now. Do you hear this, America? This is what is going on. You must learn this.
Yeah.
Think twice before you decide. Just think twice.
I mean, look, I think, you know, I have a sort of a secret theory that, you know, we as human beings, like, we have like a certain amount of love, right? Mm-hmm. In us. Mm-hmm. And like, if you have a kid and the kid, your kid is awesome the way my kid is awesome, like all your love just goes to the kid.
Yeah, it's true. And there's no more left, or there's very little.
There's no more left for anybody.
Yeah, there's very, very little. Yeah, you're right. It is. It's sort of, it changes all of your priorities. Everything changes. Everything that was important before all of that is no longer important, or it has been demoted intensely down the list. But, you know...
It's by far the best thing that's ever happened.
Well, then I was going to ask you this question, but I think you kind of answered it. I was going to say, what is your biggest takeaway that you've had from all of these experiences and all of these different changes in genre and sounds and experimentations? What's your biggest takeaway for all of this for you?
Well, I mean, I think that what I've understood is that, like, you know, sometimes you're going to have a hit song, sometimes you're not going to have a hit song. If you try to make a hit song, it's not going to. I mean, at least in my case, it's not going to work.
You know? I think in most people's cases, you're not alone there. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like you need to write something that is authentic and moving. And weirdly, you need to be selfish. Like, you need to be selfish. Like this is like cool to me. Like, maybe nobody else is going to like this, but it's cool to me. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And then those are the things that I think, you know, in the end, those are the things that have legs. But, you know, I just, again, it's like, I think about making music more like sort of visual arts now, where it's sort of like, you know, you need to like have a perspective on something and have a foreground, have a background, you know, and have a point of view and make it really clear. But it can also be enigmatic. That's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, but like, you know, make sure that it's got... This is a very inside joke, but you know, you need to have the hooks, you need to have the licks, you gotta have ops, you gotta have the hair, and you gotta have juice.
I think you just described the hair bands of the 80s. I think the hair, especially, I'm just saying, I think that's part of it. I think that's the biggest takeaway. All right. So there you go. I think that isn't what I'm going to take away from this entire interview. What's next for you, Duncan Sheik? What do you have on tap right now? What are you working on?
So I'm doing a lot of theater stuff. I have a show called Noir that's like a sort of a sort of contemporary neo-noir. You know, it's a musical, but it's sort of, like a little bit like in the sort of Usual Suspects or Quentin Tarantino
True territory. Detective kind of dark.
I'm working on another show that's based on a very popular manga in Japan that's called Memoirs of Amorous Gentlemen. And that is a show that makes Spring Awakening look like Annie. So,
and for people who've seen Spring Awakening, you know what he's referring to. Yeah. Yes.
I'm doing Secret Life of Bees as well with Lynn Nottage and Whitney White. Uh-huh. And let's see what else. A few other. I'm working on a show about Nero, like, you know, back in 64.
Like Fiddled like, While Rome Burned kind of thing.
Like 0064.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, wow. You are spread out. How do you have time to do anything else right now? How do you even give us an interview right now? That's crazy. You're too busy.
I mean, you know, doing interviews like this, I consider my like break, you know, this is like my break to just like jibber jabber.
I love it. And I've really enjoyed talking to you. And I would love to talk to you all day long because you are fascinating. And I think we only scratched the tip of the iceberg with you. I think there is so much more there. And I would love to have you again next time you're out, you know, promoting something. Please, we can go even more in depth into your career because you know, you only have a certain amount of time. But in the meantime, everyone, check out DuncanSheik.com and see everything about you. Buy your music, support it, and go out and support live shows. Go see something on stage. Go out there and get your butt out there and see something live because people just don't anymore. So get out there. And I just think you're brilliant and I want to hear more and more from you. So it was a pleasure to have you today on The Scene with Doreen. Duncan.
All right, Doreen, thank you so very much.
Oh, thank you. It was a pleasure. And you stay connected with me. I want to follow everything you do.
Okay. Right. Okay. Sounds good.
Take care. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you to my guests today, the great Duncan Sheik, and of course, all the awesome Kevins out there. And thank you again for tuning into The Scene with Doreen. I'm here each and every week across the country bringing you the best interviews from the entertainment world and beyond. Get connected with me on social media and on our official website, thescenewithdoreen.com. And tune in next week so you and Kevin can find out what's going on. Bye!